And men's trio, appreciate that. Good music tonight. And what a joy it is just to think about that. My hope is Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And so thank you, men, for singing. Thank you, pianists, for playing. All the things going together for a wonderful service tonight. And here we are at the preaching time. And I like to, for just a little while, preach or teach. And I, again, was going to go a different direction this evening, but I just felt like we should look at the triumphal entry. I read a passage in Mark chapter 11 this morning, but I want you to turn this evening to Matthew chapter 21. We read the account in Mark and that gospel. We're going to look at Matthew, though, 21. We'll read the first 11 verses of Matthew 21. And as we look at the triumphal entry, we want to look at several aspects of that tonight that cause us to reflect and take some inventory. And I want to be very practical this evening. I want you to look in the Scriptures. And as we look into the Scriptures, just we can't put ourselves there because we weren't there, but we can certainly look at what the disciples experienced, and then I believe it can be personally applicable to us. So Matthew 21, verse number 1, beginning there, says this, "And when they had drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into a village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciple went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." I don't have a title this evening. I just want to look at some aspects of the triumphal entry and again give you some practical things, give me some practical things, that just some observations from this. Because as I mentioned this morning, I challenge each of you to look at some passages this week. I read some off, Matthew 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, and John chapter 20, that give the account of the resurrection. Has been my practice for some time, the week leading up to it, to read all the gospel recollections or references to the resurrection. And maybe you take one day and just muse and meditate on those things. Think about how blessed we are. Because remember this, friend, the resurrection is all, we're all tied up in the resurrection. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean by that, the resurrection is the exclamation point on the end of the gospel story. If Christ had not risen again, then all he would have been a teacher in that day. If Christ had not rose from the grave, then his words would have not had power because he would have been a false prophet, but he wasn't. And so the resurrection, of course, is that exclamation point on the end of that gospel sentence. But as we look at this evening, we've read through this reference to the triumphal entry, I want you to see just a couple of practical things. Number one, in verse number 2 and 3, I see this, that an obedient life is rewarded. You say, Brother Herdman, what does that mean? What I mean by that is, look in verse number 2, saying unto them, Jesus telling them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her, loose them and bring them. And so Jesus tells these people to go do this, this, and this. And when they get there, it happens exactly like Jesus said. The Lord tells the two disciples what to say when the owners ask, what are you doing? Because in Luke chapter 19, another passage that's parallel to this, Luke chapter 19 verse 33 says, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? Just as Jesus told them would be. But they also didn't put up a fight. Just like Jesus said, you tell them what it's for, tell them the master has need of it, and then they'll let you go on. And that they do. And so I'm saying to you this evening in small ways that the Lord was telling these disciples, do this, 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 and everything will be all right. Do you understand, my friend, that there's many times we get into problems, and it's not because the issue is too big. It's not because we were not unaware of what we should do. Oftentimes, we get in trouble simply because we don't follow what the Scripture says. Now, again, I'm taking this passage and applying it, and as I apply it, I would say to this, how many of you think it had been a good idea when Jesus told the disciples, go get that donkey and go get that colt and bring them back here. Here's what you'll say when people ask you what you're doing. I think I'd have listened up real good and taken Jesus' advice. You go stay on somebody's donkey and their colt, they might not be too happy. But when you've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you've got Jesus Christ, the Son of God, saying, do this, it'll all be all right. And there's some things that the Lord tells us to do, and we may say, well, that sounds kind of off. That kind of sounds kind of strange. How about when Jesus said we're supposed to forgive our enemies? The world says, don't forgive them. They've done it against you. You wait until they come apologize to you. But Jesus tells us to forgive them, those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Then the Word of God says we're supposed to act in a certain way toward them. And I'm just telling us this evening, when God Almighty tells us a command, we would certainly do well to do exactly as he says. So I see this first part, the disciples get to be involved, and you know in our country they used to have some pretty stiff penalties for horse thieves. But when the owner of everything, Jesus Christ, tells somebody what to do, then it all works out to be all right. Oh, I wish I'd have that obedient attitude. I know those disciples must have had some more questions. Lord, we're going to go steal somebody's donkey? We're going to go take somebody's stuff that isn't ours? But they did it. Boy, I'd like to be that obedient every time the Lord tells me. The Lord tells me to have faith. If you had faith, the grain of a mustard seed, we preached on it just last week, I think it was. Then the Lord tells me to have faith. Boy, I wish I'd just listened to the Lord. I can't see your hands, but I could if you were here. How many of you say, I know I wish I'd listened to the Lord on several instances in my life. All of us could say that. Well, boy. And the disciples get to see that the obedient life is rewarded. Just a short little lesson, just a little lesson from the triumphal entry. But not only do I see that as I observe some things, look on down, if you will, in verse number 8. I see not only do we see the obedient life is rewarded, but now I'm going to look at some people who are getting personally involved. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the Bible says in verse number 7, they put on them their clothes, and they set him there on. We've seen the pictures. If you went to Sunday school when you were a kid, you probably colored some pictures of Jesus sitting on that donkey, coming in with those palm branches out in front of him, and there were some blankets, some coats, some different things. And the Scripture says that the people that were there, some of them, they put on them their clothes just so he'd have a more comfortable place to sit on that donkey's back. And here we have people using their own things for the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have been one of those people that put my coat on the back of that little donkey and let Jesus got on there. I believe I'd have taken it home. I don't know. There's the outside of Scripture. Of course, it doesn't say. But if I'd have been one of those folks that did that, I believe when Jesus got done, I'd have taken that home. And I told my kids and then my grandkids, however many people I could gather around, say, you see that coat hanging there? That was the one Jesus sat on. That was his little saddle blanket right there on that donkey when he rode into Jerusalem. You remember before they crucified him, before they did all that? That's the saddle blanket. My coat was his blanket. I'd love to be able to have a little bit of a part in the work of the Lord. And you say, well, that's not much. Jesus doesn't need much. He was going to do the saving. He was going to go to the cross. He was going to go to do all of the necessary work. But here people got personally involved, and they got to use their own things for God. I might ask you this question. You think about your stuff tonight. What do you have personally tied up in the Lord and in His work? Now, I understand for the last few weeks we've been different. Many of you watching and listening, we understand that many times you teach Sunday school and you help in junior church, you help in kids' class, you help in all these, or you help in the ushers and the whatever. I understand right now this isn't a real good test of that. But let's say on a normal week, what do we have invested for the Lord? And it's not all what we say, teachers and ushers. It could be, oh, I invested the Lord. I'm investing my time inviting people to church. I'm investing time cleaning, working, doing this, that, and the other. And all those things and a lot more. Some might say, well, it's a lot for these singers to come in. It's a lot for that piano player to come and give all that time to practice when we're socially distant as we are. We're trying to practice all that. Some people might say, that's a lot of time to put in, and it is. But what better thing would we put our time for? And I'm not trying to get on to the people who are here or the people that are watching. I'm just saying, what better thing could we put our time involved in, invested in, except for the Lord's work? And here we have just a simple little lesson. These people are taking their coats and they're putting them on that donkey just so that the Lord can have a more comfortable ride. In our church that I served in, the pastor in Ohio, there was a wonderful man of God that God moved him to Illinois from our church. And Brother Dave, he worked on the buses and he did all kinds of work around the church and just was just immensely involved. And when God moved him from that state to another state, you should have seen the trucks it took to take his stuff out of the church or out of the bus garage. He had so much of his own stuff he would use on those buses and use in working, and he had to take it with him. That's what he did for a living. And so it was amazing just to see how much somebody was vested in or how much they were invested in the work of the Lord. And I've already learned here, no longer than I've come, that there's lots of people that are the same way. There's things around the church and there's things that get done around the church that aren't even done by Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church's property. It's done by other people. And I say praise the Lord to that. Whether it's your time, whether it's your stuff, whether it's your talent, whatever it is, we ought to be invested in the Lord's work. Get personally involved. As I said, the scriptures don't say so, but I think if I'd have been there and I'd have put my coat up on that donkey's back and let Jesus ride as soon as he got down to Jerusalem and they took the donkey back to wherever it's supposed to go, then I'd have got that coat and I said, Lord, if you don't need this, I'm going to take it home. I'm just going to cherish this. And I'm thinking of good old saints of God that I've visited in the hospital, the nursing home, I mean, and I've listened to their stories as they tell about the days when they served on the church bus, and they cherished that time that they served for the Lord more than they cherish $50,000. Why? Because they got to do it for Him. And I challenge you, if you're taking inventory right now, and I hope you are, if you're taking inventory right now, you say, Pastor Herdman, I don't know if there's much that I'm invested in. I say as soon as these circumstances that we're in right now get past, then you get on track to invest as much as you can into the Lord's work. And I know you're saying, oh, preachers always want money. I'm not even speaking about your cash. I'm speaking about our life. Just investing our stuff and our life in the work of the Lord, because I believe that these people never regretted using it for the Lord's glory in a small, small way. Not only do I see that, but I look on in verse number 8, I see that they spoke victory. You say, Pastor Edmund, what do you mean they spoke victory? The Bible says, verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in that way. There was that person. And others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them or threw them in the road or in the way. They spoke victory. You say, what do you mean by that? In John chapter 12, verse number 13, the only gospel recollection of, or only gospel reference says that they took branches of palm trees. Here they just say trees, but they were palm trees as John's gospel brings out. But historically, palm branches symbolize goodness and victory. They were often used on the back of coins of that day because they stood for victory and peace, but victory and goodness. As a matter of fact, they awarded the palm branch to victorious athletes in ancient Greece. And as those palm leaves, palm branches were put down, in essence, those people were saying victory through peace and success. And they were saying the goodness of the Lord be spread about as they put those palm branches down on the road in front of that donkey as Jesus come by. This is the victorious one. And I just say as a little note of application, the palm branches may not be out today, and there may be lots of people who don't believe it. There may be some that say that peace is going to come through somebody's big idea or somebody peace is going to come through this. Can I tell you that the only way there's going to be peace in your life or peace in my life is when I yield myself to Jesus Christ? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You say, Pastor Herdman, doesn't look like there's much peace on earth. There's peace in my heart tonight. Even in the midst of what's going on, and I don't like what's going on, neither do you, and I'm praying for God to heal our nation physically. I'm praying for it spiritually as well. But there's still peace in my heart, and there's peace in your life if your trust is in Jesus Christ and your dependence is on Him, not only for salvation, but for sanity. And they spoke victory. They spoke goodness. They spoke victory by the very act of putting those palm branches down in front of the Lord Jesus. Oh, the wonderful thing. I give you one more before we close this evening. I see not only that the obedient life was rewarded when those disciples simply followed Christ, and it all worked out like he said it would. Not only that, but they got personally involved. They got some skin in the game, as somebody might say. They spoke victory by those palm trees, those palm branches that they put down in front of him. But then also in verse number 9 and verse 5, we see that the prophecy was fulfilled. Whether those people in that day knew all that was going on or not, I do not know. But I do know that they fulfilled prophecy, or they saw prophecy fulfilled. Verse number 5 says this, "Tell ye the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass." And we understand that verse number 5, and then as it goes down, and it also talks in verse number 9, "Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." If you look back at Psalm 118, verse number 26, sometime you get an opportunity, but also in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, I'll quote it to you, or I'll read it to you. It says this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass." And as Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9, prophesied it sometime before, the people that saw the activities that day and saw Jesus riding into town on that donkey, they saw the prophecy of 500 years prior come to fulfillment that day. So for 5 centuries, Bible students would have known that one of these days Messiah is going to come riding into town on a donkey. Now again, whether people were astute to that or not, some of them I'm sure were, some of them weren't. But those people that day, you say, why would it have mattered that Jesus rode into town on a donkey? Because he said he was going to. Why would it matter that a bone of Jesus' body wasn't broken when they beat him and mistreat him on the cross? Because he said it wouldn't be. Why would it have mattered all these other things? You say, is it really that important that you're that accurate? You better believe it is that important. Because even when we don't understand, God is going to make every prophecy fulfilled from the beginning to the end. If it hasn't fulfilled yet, or it hasn't been fulfilled yet, it will be. And so this day they got to see the prophecies fulfilled that was given some 500 years before. So this evening I just want to give you a few observations of this triumphal entry, some practical applications for now. Think with me, if you will, as Jesus tells those disciples, two of them, hey, go get that donkey. He's tied up. You bring him to me. The natural objection, Lord, what? That's not even our donkeys. Lord said, it'd be all right. When they ask why you're doing this, you tell them why, and it'll all work out. And it did. The obedient life that God paves the way for. You say, my life's pretty rough right now, Pastor Herdman. I understand. You say, I'm trying to do right. And I get you. I understand sometimes we do right and it's still rough. You want to know what a really rough life is? You try going against the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I'm trying to do right and my life is not going smooth. It does rain on the just and the unjust. I'm with you. But when you lay your head on your pillow at night, knowing that nothing is between my soul and the Savior, and He allows that peace to come over you, that's immeasurable in value. And you want to talk about a rough life, then you start going against God's will. And then we'll find roughness. But they see the obedient life is rewarded. And I like nothing more than those people getting personally involved. Can I just challenge you right now tonight? This is not the point of the message, but can I challenge you right now that you say, God, as soon as this pandemic gets done, as soon as things get back to normal, Lord, I want to invest some things of my life into your work. Maybe you're sitting there tonight and you're saying, really, there's nothing going undone now that I was doing when I was there at church. Folks, we need you. I need you as the pastor here. I need you on my team to pray for me. I need you on my team to back me up and go to God on my behalf and say, Lord, bless him, help him, give him wisdom, give him strength, give him all these. I need you. And you can do that from home, and you can do it when you get back. But I challenge you when you get back to say, there's something around that church I can do. And when the opportunity comes, I challenge you to take it. They got personally involved. But then not only that, as you see those branches come down, and they, on the road, the dirt, crude dirt road that that donkey was riding down on, Hosanna, Hosanna, from Psalm 118. You understand that the Scriptures were going to play out exactly what God wanted to play out. It just to the minute detail. God was going to make it happen exactly like He said it would. Sometimes you see these those people give the predictions. You know, they're like on the first of the year, say, "Well, this is going to happen." They think if they get half of them right, they're doing something great. God hadn't got one wrong yet. They spoke victory, and then they fulfilled prophecy. Did they know they were fulfilling prophecy when they went and got that donkey? I don't know. Some of those disciples, they may or may not have. I don't know. Some of them had a better chance than others, but I don't know whether they knew it or not, but they did fulfill prophecy. Well, whether it's a triumphal entry or whether it's now, right now, may we live that obedient life. And I want to give you these thoughts so that this week you can read passages like this. You can read passages like Matthew chapter 28 and let yourself, let your mind go musing. One thing about many folks are having a little bit altered schedule right now, we ought to take good time to get into the book and meditate therein so that it gets in us. So this evening, as we think about the triumphal entry, God bless those thoughts and these scriptures to our heart and our lives. Would you pray together with me? Now, Lord, here we are, a different service, a different sermon, maybe not even a sermon, dear Lord, but a little study and some applications. But Lord, I pray that we would be found faithful. Lord, you faithfully executed the prophecies that you had your prophets give in the Old Testament. Lord, you've never let us down. I pray, dear Lord, that we would find ourselves in the book this week. I pray, dear Lord, that we would find ourselves meditating, musing upon the blessed thoughts of the resurrection scriptures. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do in our hearts and in our lives. As we have this invitation time, dear Lord, I pray that you'd work on the hearts of people. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless us to do some soul searching. And if there's a Christian watching tonight that they're not having any skin in the game, as it were, for your work, Lord, I pray that you would challenge them to make a difference now from here on. Maybe it's somebody that's not able to get out, and they're not able to teach a class, they're not able to clean, they're not able to work on the parking lot, but Lord, they can pray. They may have more time to pray than some others because they're stuck at home more. Lord, may you convict and lead each and every one of us to get involved in your work. Lord, I pray if there's a Christian here tonight that's watching, that you've got a place for them to be serving and they're not doing it. I pray you'd convict them right now and they would obey that conviction and they would make some holy resolutions to you that as soon as we get back, I'm going to be where God wants me to be. I'd like to speak to another group tonight. Maybe you're watching and you're not sure that you're saved. Maybe you're a church member but not sure you're saved. There's a reason that Jesus came into that Jerusalem town that day on that donkey. He came to go through the cruel, mocking, beating, scourging, and ultimate crucifixion for you and for me. If you're here, you're watching tonight, and you're not sure that you're saved, Jesus did all that and a lot more than we got a chance to talk about tonight for you. If you'd like to take Him as your Savior, I challenge you to do that. If you need somebody to talk to, our Some folks are watching our phone lines, 423-477-3311. Again, 477-3311. Or you can email us prayers@brbc.us. Prayer at brbc.us. If you need help in a spiritual matter, I challenge you to call. And maybe you're right there in the quietness of your home. You'd put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. This preacher can't save you. This church can't save you. Your good works and your good intentions can't save you. But Jesus Christ can and will and wants to. Would you put your faith in Him alone as your Savior? As she plays another verse and God's dealing with your heart, would you simply reach out to Him in prayer and say, Lord, I want to follow You.
Ian, in the service this evening, thankful that you were able to watch tonight, thankful for a message, and thankful to think about our Savior. And I do encourage you, as Pastor has tonight, to think about what this week held for our Savior just 2,000 years ago, and just pray that God would work in your hearts, and also a reminder just to share that graphic and to get the word out that we're having. We're still going to celebrate Easter next Sunday morning, looking forward to a good time, singing some songs about what happened that day and trying to spread the message in song. And I know Pastor sharing the gospel message as well. And so get the word out. Invite people to watch with you, even though you may not be together, but to tune in and help them get set up with tuning into our live stream as well. And do want to remind you as well, I'm going to pray in just a moment, but after the service tonight, make your way to Facebook Live if you're not already watching through that venue, and you can tune in and on our church Facebook page and watch as the as we have this virtual lobby, and Pastor will be out there, and Miss Herdman will be with him answering some questions, to spend some time fellowshipping together in that format. And so let's pray and ask God to bless these thoughts to our hearts and our minds, and bless that time and bless the week as well. Father, thank You for the day You've given to us and the opportunity that we've had to be together, Lord, in a different sense that than we normally think that we're together. But Lord, we have Your Spirit within us, and we gather together in that way, Lord, united by the One who's with us and the One that we worship and the One that we preach. And Lord, I pray that You would bless our church family as we meditate on the triumphal entry, and Lord, in Your death and Your burial and Your triumphant resurrection this week. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to get the word out, and we'd have many people tuning in to our live feeds next week to hear the message of the gospel. Lord, I pray You'd bless our church family, keep them safe and healthy. I do pray for the Susong family as they prepare for this service tomorrow. Lord, I pray that You'd bless all of us as we go throughout our weeks this week. And Lord, please, Lord, heal our land of this sickness. Bring us back together as soon as You see fit. Bless this virtual lobby time that we have. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you for being with us today.